Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. Each week this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Are you still looking for a job in geospatial? Lots of people are. How's your resume? Did you have someone in the industry review it? No? Then it could probably be a bit better. We'll look at a few resumes and offer some suggestions. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
Now, here are our ground rules. We each examined the same five random resumes that we found submitted to geospatial career sites on the internet, and they've all been submitted within the past year. And what we're going to do is look at each one and give specific suggestions on how to make these documents better, and in particular, more likely to get that first phone call for an interview, because that's what the resume is for. Let's get started. And the first person we're going to talk about is AL, and AL has 7 years of experience in geospatial at the same company. And the one piece of advice I want to suggest to AL is that instead of listing off all of the different positions that they've had over the years, which is a number of them, isn't so much to highlight those different titles, but to make it very clear that each one of these job changes was a move up the food chain. So clearly, this was somebody who was showing prowess at a particular job and was good enough to move up to the next job. By just listing them, this person is not indicating that they realize that they moved up the food chain and had some specific skills that allowed them to do that. Don't leave that to the reader. Make that very clear. Be explicit. Blow your own horn here.
It's a really good suggestion, Adina. I think that's directly one of the things that I think each individual has to be. The way I would characterize this person and a few others that we'll look at is it's kind of a mid-career person. And what I want to see is quantifiable success. You've been in this job X number of years, 7 to 10 years. Number one, show me your quantifiable success. Number two, tell me what you want. What kind of job are you looking for? Where do you think you would best find a very good job that meets your qualification skills? And most importantly, and I tell this to my kids, what is your definition of success? And turn that around and make that into a job profile. Whenever I have advised my kids to go on a job interview, I tell them to ask one thing of the hiring manager. Tell me what success looks like in this job. So for this person, I would say turn it around. What are you looking for? What do you think success will be in your next position?
I think it's a great idea. And people need to remember, these resumes all came from people who posted them on sites where ideally people who have jobs are going to be looking for candidates.
Right.
So this is one of the most important places to have a headline that is what you want or have that content in there. The one question I have back to you is you said, show me your quantifiable... What was the term you used?
Successes.
Give me an example of that. What exactly is that?
Well, the one thing that I would say is, in this scenario, is I managed a team of 10 GIS analysts that completed the redeployment of ArcSDE to Oracle Spatial in 3 months. Can you tell me something like that? What did you do in your job? Or I successfully converted legacy MicroStation files to Bentley ProjectWise for online project management and multi-user collaboration in 2 weeks. Tell me what you did in that position,
right,
and quantify it.
Right. So this also gets back to that. The names of the positions aren't that important, but the what you did in them and the how you moved through them are very important.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's move on now to BH. And BH hasn't got quite as much experience as AL does, but has been in the field. And when I read down the education information and the positions and the project experience, I get confused. And this is bad. You don't want the reader of the resume to be confused. And here's what confused me. If I understood correctly, BH worked at a state DOT, but apparently one of the things that he or she did there was a discussion paper of the use of nuclear weapons against Korea. Now, I don't know. It is possible that a Department of Transportation would have somebody do that, but I really think that probably was something that this individual did when they were in school, which is fine, but don't mix and match like that. That's confusing. Or if you want to do that, and in fact, this would be my suggestion to BH, instead of separating out the positions and the project experience, because you're sort of newer to this whole thing, put your skills first. Here's what I can do. And there you can mix up all the different things that you've learned on the job and in school and the other kinds of jobs that you've had that aren't directly related. And then just put the actual positions below that.
Yeah, and this is a little bit of a classic mistake that I think for these introductory positions, or if he's looking for an entry level, he only has a very limited number of years of experience. They put their education first, and I know that that's the way that most people want to go who don't have a lot of experience, that want to show that they're educated. I would do very similar to what you did, which is tell me what your experience level is with a specific piece of software. I need to know if you're an entry-level person or somebody with 1 or 2 years experience, I need to know what you can do fast. I don't want to send you to another training class. I want to know where you can be successful with this piece of software today. Because I think this is the situation we're in the employment era of declining budgets and got to get things done quickly, is I need to know that you're going to do my job and I don't have to spend a lot of money on you to do it. So tell me if you're experienced. You know, you've got 3+ years ArcGIS experience. I did it in school. I did it in my first job. Just tell me what you're good at.
Right. And this person actually has a whole bunch. They've touched a lot of different things. They set flight plans for some remote sensing. I mean, they've done a lot of stuff. But it's all mixed in among these other things. Yeah, get those skills right up at the top. Mm-hmm. That'll make it much stronger there, BH.
Yep.
Good luck. Okay, and now let's move on to DS. Now, DS has a lot of experience, more than 10 years. The resume is very, 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 very long. That's basically my major suggestion is, let's trim this baby down. You've got a ton to offer, and you've got to thin it out so that somebody is going to get those highlights and quickly decide if you're worth interviewing or not. Because if I have to read through all of this, that's going to take me way too much time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. In fact, that was very close to my suggestion, which is these job performance listing that he's got have to be, I would say, summarized right up front. So more succinctly, tell me what you're good at. Retool the resume so that you can give me your top 5 most successful job performance tasks, or but what you've been most successful in this 10-year-long history. Put them right up front. Again, I go back to the point of making them quantifiable. What did you do? I managed 10 people, and we completed X in X amount of time. I just think that's really important. You got to get my attention. You know, regardless of how many years of experience, if I'm looking over something and I've got a stack of 50 resumes to look at, you got to get my attention.
Right, and one thing that detracted from my attention in this one is that this individual went back so far as to highlight their ArcView 3 skills. At one time, that should have led your resume, but not in 2014.
Yeah.
In fact, I would just let that one fall off the bottom. If it comes up in conversation, you can certainly use it as a building block as to how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, and what the other thing I've seen is that for experience that had occurred longer than 15 years ago, say, that's just summarized in a statement. If you'd like more information for my experience between 1998 and 1985, call me or do something else, but make it succinct.
I wouldn't even put that statement there. That's sort of implied. Okay, next up is OS. OS, I think, is having a little bit of a confusion between what goes in a resume and what goes in a cover letter. And OS seems to me to have delivered a very short cover letter as opposed to a resume. So there's some good stuff in here that's very valuable and could make this person a valuable candidate. Unfortunately, it isn't formatted as a resume. It's got too many sentences in it. It doesn't have enough of those quantifiable successes that you've indicated. And it's really lacking in some specifics. So one of the things that OS highlights is that he or she took a course in programming ArcInfo. And ArcInfo is spelled ARCINFO with a capital A and a capital I. Of course, that product no longer exists.
Right.
But more importantly, he or she didn't share, you learned programming. What language did you program in? Are you talking about AML? Are you talking about Python? You're talking about Visual Basic? That's the kind of stuff that goes in a resume.
Yeah. Again, it's an entry-level person that kind of didn't do their homework as to what they really needed to highlight in terms of their skill set. If they had coursework in either ArcInfo or some other Arc product, that would have been helpful for me to see. I realize he or she doesn't have a lot of experience. So I really needed to see a listing of what you're technically good at this very entry level type of experience. So it was just didn't hit the mark.
Right. And this is exactly why we're doing this podcast, is to encourage everybody out there who's got a resume, whether you've got 2 months of experience or 20 years, show it to somebody in the field now, and you'll get this feedback that can help you craft this calling card, if you will, for everybody else in the industry.
And I should point out that in researching for this podcast, there's lots of good suggestions out there for people who are posting their resumes online in order that certain keywords can be picked up by search engines. I would recommend that if somebody is only posting online as opposed to sending out directly to the hiring managers, you really need to look at what has been successful on the web and optimize it for web browsing.
So in a sense, you need to do your own search engine optimization for your resume.
Right. There's all sorts of good suggestions of what type of keywords to put out there.
Okay, the last person we're going to look at is SM, and SM is also in the sort of middle category with 7 years of experience, a very long bullet list of experience and positions, and a lot of acronyms, many of which I am less familiar with than others. My concern here was I didn't find which companies this person worked for, and I didn't find which universities they went to. Now, there may be some good reason that they couldn't name where they worked, it's super secret or whatever. If that's the case, just note that somewhere. Like, I can't tell you where I work because it's secret. Those kind of things are flags to me like, oh, did you really work somewhere? Because if you did, you would have told me the name of the company so I could go check. Similarly for educational certifications and degrees.
And my suggestion to this person is if you are a foreign national or somehow seeking jobs in a different country, send your resume to somebody in that country who's a native speaker and have them review for grammar and style and elocution, because this resume clearly was not formatted the way I needed to see it, that I knew that this person was proficient in my language.
Right. And just a really simple one here. I didn't find any verbs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Again, what did you do? Right. I reviewed. I managed. I completed. Right. Those are the kind of verbs that we look at.
The action verbs.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't find any verbs in here, which is another indication that could have been better. And again, a helpful hand from somebody in the industry could definitely help you identify. And these are the great thing about all the things we've mentioned today. They're very simple to fix.
Yeah, and this one is very easy to fix, I think. I think if he had handed the resume, I think it could be a great fix because, as you said, a lot of experience, just reorganize it to the point where, again, you're getting person's attention in the right format.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, you only have about a month left to submit your presentation for review for our upcoming Geoenergy Summit in Huntsville, Alabama, November 12th and 13th. The deadline is September 30th. More information can be found at geohuntsville.com/conference.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is posted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.